Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 6, Purusha Sukta confirmed, text number 29. Tataste pratara ime.
Tataste pratara ime.
Prajanam patayo nava.
Prajanam patayo nava.
Ayajan vyaktam avyaktam.
Ayajan vyaktam.
Purusham su samahitah.
Purusham su
samahitah.
Tataha.
Thereafter.
Day.
Your.
Prataraha.
Brothers.
Ime.
These.
Prajanam.
Of the living creatures.
Patayaha.
Masters.
Nava.
Nine.
Ayachan.
Performed.
Vyaktam.
Manifested.
Avyaktam.
Non-manifested.
Purusham.
Personalities.
Susamahitaha.
With proper rituals.
My dear son, thereafter your nine brothers, who are the masters of living creatures, perform the sacrifice with proper rituals to satisfy both the manifested and non-manifested personalities.
Purport. The manifested personalities are the demigods, like the ruler of the heavenly kingdom, Indra, and his associates. And the non-manifested personality is the Lord himself. The manifested personalities are mundane controllers of the material affairs, whereas the non-manifested personality of Godhead is transcendental, beyond the range of the material atmosphere. In this age of Kali, manifested demigods are also not to be seen, for space travel has completely stopped. So both the powerful demigods and the Supreme Personality of Godhead are non-manifested to the covered eyes of the modern man. Modern men want to see everything with their eyes, although they are not sufficiently qualified. Consequently, they disbelieve in the existence of the demigods or of the Supreme God. They should see through the pages of authentic scriptures and should not simply believe their unqualified eyes. Even in these days, God can also be seen by qualified eyes tinged with the ointment of love of God. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshuru Nivilitam Jena Tasmaye Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Karamayam Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langayate girim yakri patamam bande shri gurum tirtayam. Very interesting purport. Not much more you can add to this, really, when you think about it. sure we could. I have a question, a couple of questions. Who's been following this section of the Srimad Bhagavatam recently? Nobody. And who in this room went to Bhagavatam class yesterday? So I took a few, three or four people. Okay, good. I have a question to those persons. What is the sacrifice being referred to here? In the translation. I should have read this last night, but I was too tired. So I went to sleep. In the translation it says, my dear son, thereafter your nine brothers. So who is being spoken to here? Narada Muni. Who are Narada Muni's nine brothers? The Navayogendras. That's a good. I don't think it's the Navayogendras. It could be. Huh? No. There's a giveaway here. Who are the masters of living creatures? Prajanam. Patayo. Nava. The Prajapatis. Yeah, I would think so. The Prajapatis, not the Navayogendras. They are very elevated devotees. But not different, you know, elevated in a different way. Perform the sacrifice. What sacrifice did they perform? So Jagannath, you've been following, you've been in Bhagavatam every day for the last week, haven't you? Yeah, right. So Lord Brahma has been talking about the performance of sacrifice, hasn't he? So what kind of sacrifice? What was the sacrifice for? You've been taking notes? Huh? What's that? Missed a few classes. What? You weren't in them, or you fell asleep, or you weren't paying attention? Interesting, huh? Does anybody know the answer to these questions? I don't know. If I knew the answers, I wouldn't ask you. That's right, that's fine. But there's discussion of a sacrifice. Lord Brahma is performing sacrifice.
Brahma is creating the manifested universe.
Mm, yeah. But what sacrifice is he performing?
He's using the limbs of the Lord to please the Lord.
Yeah. Which is what we should all be doing. Jagya, no, it's not even mentioned here actually. Samahitaha, proper rituals. To satisfy both the manifested and non-manifested personalities. So very important. This is a very important point. That we should perform sacrifice. It's mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. The performance of sacrifice is essential for the progressive, the progression of self-realization, the progression of life, existence. It's all nourished by the performance of sacrifice. And sacrifice is meant to be performed for the pleasure of whom? Yes, and who else? The demigods. This is mentioned in the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. By By performance of sacrifice, both the Lord is pleased and the demigods are pleased. Then, with... And really that's what Prabhupada's focused on here in his purport, because they're described... Ayajan Vyaktam Avyaktam Purusham Su Samahitaha. These personalities perform sacrifices for the satisfaction of the Vyaktam and the Avyaktam. So Prabhupada explains who is Vyaktam, the manifest, and Avyaktam, the unmanifest personalities. So the manifest personalities are the demigods. That's very interesting, because Prabhupada mentions here that the demigods used to visit the earth. And so everybody understood who the demigods were and what their purpose and role was within all of the universal affairs. And they were respected. Lord Brahma, Lord Indra, and other demigods were respected. In this day and age, nobody believes that the demigods exist. First of all, as mentioned previously, I'll just glance through some of these purports. The yajnas are no longer performed, and so there's no necessity for them to come anymore to receive their offerings. There's no need for them to come. There are no more qualified brahmanas. Actually, Prabhupada said something pretty amazing previously. One of the previous purports. Where is it? The whole process of offering sacrifice is under the category of fruitive action. What does that mean? The whole process of offering sacrifice is under the category of fruitive action.
Like
opening the hospitals. What does that mean, like opening hospitals? Is that because you're a doctor you're saying that?
That's not
what this is talking about. The whole process of offering sacrifice is under the category of fruitive action. What's fruitive action?
Get some benefit.
Get some benefit, yes. What's in it for me? What's in it for me? I, me, mine, I, me, mine, I, me, mine. What's in it for me? But actually, the process of sacrifice, whilst it's meant to benefit us, it's meant to teach us who is the proprietor, the actual proprietor. This is why when there's offerings to the demigods, there's also the Omkara is vibrated, representing the Lord, Lord Vishnu, or the origin, the source of everything. And then ultimately, in one sense, we are sacrificing our possessions, but actually those possessions are not ours. They originally belong to the Supreme Person. Something which Lord Brahma understands. And the demigods understand. They're agents working on the behalf of the Supreme Lord. And something that we should understand. We're the agents of Krishna acting on his behalf. Whereas this idea of sacrifice is, I go and perform some pious activity, and then I expect some sort of return for myself. Right? And so this is why it's put under the category of fruitive action. But there is a higher principle to sacrifice, which should be understood by the devotees. What, fifth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, 5:29, is it? Anybody know what that verse is? Bhaktaram jagya tapasam. One of the most important verses of the Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada calls it what? The peace formula. Right? Everybody wants peace. So bhaktaram jagya tapasam. Loka, what is it? Sarva loka maheshwaram. Suridam sarva bhutanam. Gyatvamam shanti mritjati. So one should know this. Right? We should know this. But we don't see the demigods. Right? We don't see the demigods. Maybe everybody can come forward. It's getting a bit crowded. There'll be more to come. What will we do when we can't? We have too many people to fit in the temple room for class. What will we do? Huh? Stand up. What if there's no standing room? Huh? Go out into the courtyard. Speaker outside. Yeah? Good day. It's okay so far. But in another 10 years it might be a problem. Huh? Video. Well, hearing is more important than seeing. We're already streaming the audio. So, yeah. Okay, so what was I saying? Oh, the demigods. Prabhupada was saying. The demigods don't visit anymore. There's not the performance of sacrifice. Although, there was a time in London, in Bury Place. Was it Bury Place? Or in Soho? I think it was in Bury Place. And Prabhupada said he saw the demigods coming to participate in the kirtan. And so he had the devotees make an asana for Lord Shiva to sit on. Do they? Yeah. So the demigods may be present, but still avyakta, right? Unmanifest. Maybe to the special personalities like Srila Prabhupada does, Srila Purusha, the perfected persons, they can see the demigods when they manifest. But we live in an age where they're beyond our perception. We're not pious at all. Even those who are pious, performing sacrifices and so forth, Prabhupada was saying, basically it's a trick. Hang on. In this case, iPad is too slow. Just the regular book is faster. Sacrifices mainly depend on the process of vibrating sounds with a particular accent. It is a great science. And due to being out of proper use for more than 4,000 years, for want of qualified brahmanas, such performances of sacrifice are no longer effective. Nor are they recommended in this fallen age. Huh? Sacrifice is not even recommended. Any such sacrifice undertaken in this age as a matter of show may simply be a cheating process by the clever priestly order. What does that mean?
Priest is cheating.
Huh?
Priest is not perfect, so they are cheating.
The priest is not
perfect.
Not perfect. Yeah.
Not the pronunciation, not the procedures. Perfect.
And taking money. They say, Prabhu, it's compulsory that you give a donation to the brahmana. Otherwise the sacrifice won't be complete or effective. For the brahmana, that is. Which is why we, you know, if people... Because, you know, we do pujas and so forth. But really the whole purpose is to get them to chant Hare Krishna. Because the sacrifice in this day and age... is one thing only. Does anybody know what it is? Sankirtan. Yes, Jagya. We went to the art gallery in South Australia and they have an exhibition on at the moment of Hindu, Muslim, Islam and Buddhist art. The majority of it is Hindu, I'd say. About 2/3 is Hindu. And of the 2/3 that are Hindu, at least a half, if not more, is Radha and Krishna. Right? You can't have religious art in Hindi without Radha and Krishna. But one of the nice things in the one of the larger sections where we had all of this art. It had Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, the great mantra for deliverance. Huh? So I thought, ooh, that's pretty far out. Huh? And right at the entrance, there's a murti of Krishna, big murti of Krishna, playing a flute. And he's like Govardhan and Hari. Does everybody know Govardhan and Hari? Radha Govardhan and Hari? In Mawilambar? Right? His head's really over to one side. One time one of the devotees asked Bhavananda, why is Govardhan and Hari's head like that? Well, he was playing his flute and he's looking at the gopis. But you can't have religious art without the art of the Vaishnav tradition. It was nice, it's big. And even nicer that the Mahamantra was prominently displayed. And that it was, the purport, the great mantra for deliverance, or the mantra for deliverance. And so, the real purpose of sacrifice is to, to know who's got to be peaceful, really, right? Bhaktaram jagya tapasam sarva loka maheshwaram suridam sarva bhutanam. And all of our activities are ultimately meant for the pleasure of the Lord. That's the sacrifice. And then automatically we'll be happy and satisfied if we're working for, because Krishna's our friend. Suridam Savabhutanam. And if we work for Krishna's benefit, then we're working for the benefit of everybody. And if we're working for the benefit of everybody, that means then that we'll be also happy. That's a sacrifice. So, nobody's qualified to perform sacrifices. Sacrifices have stopped. So the demigods have stopped coming to receive their share of the yagyas. That's the kind of sacrifice that's being talked about here. Not, you know, the fact that people go to work, which is also a form of sacrifice, but it's not karma. It's vikarma nowadays. Right? Isn't it? Previously, people performed karma, which meant sacrifices and so forth. A lot of emphasis on sacrifices, but sacrifices performed basically with a fruitive intent, with a mercantile mentality. What's in it for me? The real purpose of sacrifice is meant to please the Lord. And that's understood by Lord Brahma. And not only please the Lord, but please the Lord's representatives. We understand that principle. We put that principle into practice. Every morning we do Guru Puja to Srila Prabhupada. Now why do we do that? Why do we do Guru Puja to Srila Prabhupada?
Give him credit.
Huh?
Give him credit for what he has done for us.
Yeah. Yes, certainly. Can we get a new microphone stand? No, not right now. But this microphone stand has been doing this for a long time now. So that means it's time to get a new one. See, when you have to hurt yourself to do that, that means time to get a new microphone stand. Otherwise it just keeps on going. We tolerate it. But Tony, what's a microphone stand? $40 these days? Huh? 55. Yep, let's get a new one. Or as Russell suggested, you can get one with that balances. That might be a bit too high tech. It could be broken within a week. Why do we worship Srila Prabhupada every morning?
He's a great devotee of the Lord.
Yeah.
To get the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you have to go through Prabhupada only, because he showed this path.
Closer. Yeah, that's good. Warm. Warming up. All good. But getting warmer. You started off strongly, but got weaker towards the end. Well, we sing it every morning.
Guru coming from the like a representative God.
Yes. Guru is coming as a representative of God. But just give me some shastra. Yasya, that's it. He's got a yasya prasada bhagavat prasado. Without your mercy, I can't get Krishna's mercy. Krishna likes to see his devotee worshipped as his representative, right? So like Prabhupada said, I'm not receiving the obeisances. The obeisances, well, I receive them, but I pass them on to God. And the demigods are the Lord's representatives too. Prabhupada gives the example of the viceroy. Who is the viceroy?
Representative of the queen.
Huh?
Representative of the queen,
very good. The viceroy is a representative of the queen. He's contextualized it into the proper time and place. But in Prabhupada's time, who was the viceroy? No? Yeah, well, that's his name. But he was the representative of the king. Because it was the king then. But you got it right. Representative of the Queen. So when the Viceroy came, how was he treated?
As good as
the King. Yes. And so then how did the King feel? Oh, they're worshipping him, why aren't they worshipping me? Are you thinking like that? No. He's very happy. They're worshipping him as my representative, so that means they respect me. That's good. Everything's good in the kingdom. Otherwise, if they don't respect the viceroy, what does the king think? Ooh, what's going on? No respect. Right? So when Prabhupada is respected, Krishna is very happy. He wasn't very happy when the Lord Indra got upset that he wasn't being worshipped, though. Because Indra was thinking, you know, I'm in charge around here. He wasn't acting as... Prabhupada says the transparent via medium. Right? So that when we're worshipping Prabhupada, in effect, who are we worshipping when we worship Srila Prabhupada? Krishna. Which is really, you know, why we worship the spiritual master. But of course the spiritual master says, worship Krishna. So to counter, or to, you know, if you go into the temple, it's not just Prabhupada. We offer our obeisances to Prabhupada first, but then we come around, and then who do we have? Gaunitai, Radha Ballabha, Jagannath Balaram Subhadra. Pretty much Prabhupada's formula for ISKCON temples, the deity worship in ISKCON temples. Right? Gaunitai represents... what? Which dham? Mayapur. Mayapur, yeah. And what is it? Is it Aldaria?
Yes.
Mayapur? Is that right? Mercy. The mercy aspect. Of course, not that Radha and Krishna are not merciful, but more strict in one sense. Right? Madhurya dham. Radha and Krishna, and I'm not sure about Jagannath Balaram and Subhadra. What are they? Purushottam Kshetra, where the Lord is worshipped as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Master of the Universe. But where Lord Chaitanya spent his final years demonstrating the, you know, the epitome of, what's the word? Yeah, separation, vipralamba. So these are all very special manifestations of the Lord that Srila Prabhupada introduced to us, wonderfully introduced to us, so that we understand how we should perform that sacrifice. Right? We're here for sacrifice. That sacrifice is good for everyone, and especially it's good for us. It's done in the context of the Sankirtan Jagya. But the Sankirtan Jagya is a means by which we can approach Radha and Krishna. And the mood in which we approach Radha and Krishna is exemplified in the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his pastimes in Jagannath Puri. Is that right? Yeah. So very important that, you know, this is why Prabhupada's given us these three dharms, if you like, or these three modes of worship, because they're all the same because they're worshipping Krishna, but they are... Each one of them has a particular taste or flavour, which we should understand. And so therefore we worship Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. So, for us, Prabhupada is the Vyakta, the manifest personality. All the devotees are the manifest personalities who we should worship in order to please Krishna. But not only Prabhupada, not that we just, that's a neophyte mentality. Just me and the Guru. Or me and Krishna. This is neophyte, actually. Prakrita Bhakta. Beginning Bhakta. The Kanishta Adhikari. Or as Gorma would say, the Kanista Adhikari. It's me and Krishna and Krishna's prasadam. But that's okay. It's okay being a Kanista Adhikari. Because that's the beginning. If you're always taking prasadam, that means you'll have to be in the association of the devotees. And gradually you become purified. But there's also the worship of the devotees. Really important. We were very fortunate to have the association of Sureshwara Prabhu in Adelaide this week. And the devotees there are studying the story of the Prachetas in the Bhagavatam. And the Lord appeared. The Prachetas were performing austerities underwater for 10,000 years. And the Lord appeared underwater for the Prachetas. And he appeared and offered them benedictions, even though they were pure devotees, they didn't want anything, for one reason, or for a couple of reasons, but certainly for one prominent reason. Anybody know what that reason is? Huh? They had very friendly relationships with each other. And as Sureshwara Prabhu was pointing out, these were, was it 10 or 10,000? No, this was the first. There were two lots of sons of Prachini Bahi, wasn't it? Anyway, this was a smaller number, I think. But he's making a point, they're all Kshatriyas. And what does a Kshatriya mean? Strong, powerful, opinionated, at least strong persons. So despite the fact that they were very strong-minded personalities, they all worked together very cooperatively. And as a result of that cooperation and loving exchanges between the devotees, between the brothers, the Lord gave them an underwater darshan. He came with Garuda. So Garuda can not only fly in the sky, he can also swim in the ocean. Although, you know, and it mentioned space travel, right? He can appear anywhere. Wow. Zoom. Pretty amazing. Manifest, unmanifest. So there's sacrifice for us, especially in ISKCON. Sacrifice means working, making friends with the devotees and working together cooperatively. This is a big, big test of a Madhyamadhikari. Even if somebody is harsh or hard in their dealings, or, you know, so many disqualifications that we can see, and we were perfect. Prabhupada makes the point, we should become like honeybees and see the good in people rather than be like the fly and go for the sores. Right? Everybody has good. Everybody has bad. We know that. So our sacrifice in the Sankirtan Jagya is to worship Krishna, the unmanifest, but even, you know, Prabhupada says unmanifest, he's actually manifest in the form of the deity. Right? Krishna's here. Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda are very merciful. They allow us to engage in the Sankirtan Jagya. Which is the problem? That's the sacrifice that should be performed in this day and age. We should be performing Sankirtan Jagya. Chanting Hare Krishna. But then taking this message and delivering it to others without consideration of qualified, unqualified. But this is our austerity in this age. Giving Krishna consciousness to others. We have our sadhana. So, you know, we should be chanting Hare Krishna, studying the Shastra, worshipping the deity. But that's not what we, that's not our real business in one sense. This purification comes from that. But if you want really to understand Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, and thereby also understand Radha and Krishna, and then understand the nature of the relationship between us and Krishna through understanding the relationship that Lord Chaitanya has with Lord Jagannath, then we have to become Sankirtan devotees. You know, we're not armchair philosophers sitting just studying the Bhagavad Gita all day. We should study. Not that we shouldn't study the Bhagavad Gita, but we should give it to others. And especially those who are not qualified, because, you know, the danger is we become proud. Oh, I know so much. And one thing that you can be guaranteed when you give Krishna consciousness to the unqualified is that they'll soon trim you down to size. Yeah, mate, what do you want? Right? They won't care how many slokas you know. Or how many books you distributed already yesterday. Or whatever it is that we can get proud of. So, you know, performing sacrifice is the Sankirtan Jagya. That means going out and giving Krishna consciousness in the mood of whom. Here we go, here's a question. Who exemplifies the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in distributing Krishna consciousness to others? Two personalities. Huh? Radharani. Where was Radharani in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes? Wrong. No. What was over here? Nityananda, yeah? Who else? Haridas Thakur. What's the classic story of Lord Nityananda and Haridas Thakur? Chagai and Manai. Yes. Totally unqualified fellows. That would fight with the devotees. It used to be like that. In the 70s, you go on Sankirtan, and almost every second day, the Harinam party would be a fight with somebody. But the devotees used to have the Chatriya brigade. A couple of devotees who dressed in plain clothes. So if somebody picked on the devotees, they'd wait for a laneway. They grab him, fix him up, then back out on the street again. not pleasant, actually. But it was rough, you know, rough, tough times. Things are relatively civilized and humane, or relatively easy. in this day and age. But that's our sacrifice. And if we perform that sacrifice, we are worshipping Srila Prabhupada, because that's what he did and what he wanted us to do. And that will automatically please, that enables us to enter into the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. We enter into the Sankirtan Leela when we go out and preach. Primarily through what methodology? Huh? Yes, chanting Hare Krishna. Sankirtan. And what else? Yes, book distribution. Prasadam distribution. Yeah, many ways, actually. But especially Sankirtan and book distribution. And prasadam distribution. We're strong on prasadam distribution. One of the reasons why in Australia the Hare Krishna movement is very popular. Because so many people have eaten prasadam. So many. But unfortunately now there's many people who don't even know. You know, you can go out and people will say, "What are you? Who are you?" We think, "Well, I'm Hare Krishna." And they say, "What's that?" That's embarrassing, isn't it? We need to be out on the streets and amongst the people, giving them the holy name, giving them books, giving them prasadam, making friends with them, basically. That's the mood of sacrifice. That brings, when we perform the sacrifice, that brings the avyakta closer into perception, into focus, if you like, or in our range of vision. So Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda you know, the demigods aren't coming, and even the Lord came some time ago, but his representatives are here. Who are they? Prabhupada is here in his murti form and in his instructions, but his representatives are also here. Why we have to deal so carefully and effectively with the devotees, learn how to be a devotee. So who are those personalities?
Spiritual masters.
Huh?
Spiritual masters.
Maybe.
Each one of us?
Yeah.
All of us?
Yeah, all of us. The Kanishtha mentality is, it's just me. The special devotees are just me and my guru. Right? But actually, all of the devotees are special. We pray in the morning. What is it? Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Right? We offer our respects to all the Vaishnavas. Why? This is a sacrifice, isn't it? We have to offer our obeisances to all of the devotees. Despite the fact that they behave funny sometimes. Right? In the association of the devotees, we can perform the Sankirtan Jagya. Right? If it's just by ourselves, have you ever tried doing Sankirtan by yourself? You have? What's it like? It's pretty hard to get a fired up kirtan going, isn't it? I mean, you can do it. It is possible. Prabhupada did it. But, you know, we are very fortunate in that we have the Sangha. Sangha. Right? That's what it means. Sangha Kirtan. Sankirtan. Kirtan in the association of others. Shankirtan Jagya Praye. What is it? Twisha Krishnam. Krishnavanam Twisha Krishnam. Sangho Pangashta Prashadam. Jagyai Sankirtan Praye. Yajanti Hishu Meda Saha. Those who have a little bit of intelligence will perform this sacrifice, the Sankirtan Jagya. And that means in the association of others. That's how we make advancement. And that's what pleases Krishna. We worship Prabhupada. He's Krishna's representative. But in one sense, all of the devotees are Krishna's representatives, just as we should be. And not. We all should be Krishna's representative. We should be thinking of ways how to engage in the Sankirtan Jagya. And it's and I'm saying this basically because it's beneficial for all of us. At least once a week, I would highly recommend we go out on the Sankirtan party, or we go out and do some book distribution, or we do some prasadam distribution. We actually get out there and have to deal with the idiots out there. They are idiots. But it wasn't so long ago, we were one of the idiots. Right? Isn't it? Or maybe even occasionally we still are an idiot. Huh? For purification and for the benefit of others. You know, we want to fill up the temple room and explode the temple room so that there's no more space for anybody. In one sense. Then we'll find another place that's bigger to get together, chant Hare Krishna and hear the Bhagavatam. And, you know, in that way we make Krishna consciousness real. It manifests before our eyes. Srila Prabhupada is manifest, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda is manifest. When we first see the deities, we kind of scratch our heads. What's going on here? Well, I did anyway. I was scared of Radha Ballabha. Because I heard, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda is very merciful. So I thought, oh, that's wonderful. But Radha and Krishna is more strict. But if we go out on Sankirtan, then Krishna's immensely pleased. And we are purified. It's not easy to have to face, you know, it means we stand up and say, you know, I'm a Hare Krishna. And people are going to say, he's a Hare Krishna. Right? People will know us. And we're going to say, you should be a Hare Krishna too. And they're going to be thinking, you want me to be a Hare Krishna, but I don't want to be. So it's automatically then, you know, it's tension. Huh? They're all laughing when we go in Harinam. They're all laughing at us. But we're also laughing at them. Right? He who laughs last laughs loudest, right? But it's a challenge. It moves us out of our comfort zone. You know, sitting and chanting Hare Krishna and worshipping the deity, studying, you know, becoming very advanced. Our advancement is tested in this day and age by our preaching. Otherwise, it can turn into profile. You know, oh yes, I know so many slokas, and I can. But it needs to be put into practice for our benefit and for the benefit of what is good for us. Ultimately, is good for everybody else. Very powerful. And if we've been shifted out of our comfort zone, no problem. That's good, because we tend to get we want to get comfortable, we want to make everything easy, but that's not what the material world's about. You know, ultimately, it'll be old age and then death. And that's not pretty. Is it, Mahatmaji? Bones start creaking and groaning and paining. One becomes anxious. So, voluntarily accept the sacrifice, and we need to. This is what's recommended. Very interesting what Prabhupada says here. I didn't dwell on it very much. Probably should have a little more, but modern men want to see everything with their eyes, although they are not sufficiently qualified. Consequently, they disbelieve in the existence of the demigods or the supreme God. They should see through the pages of authentic scriptures and should not simply believe their unqualified eyes. This is our methodology. What is it called? Shastra Chakshush. We should see through the eyes of the scripture. So we don't see good, bad, black, white, male, woman, or whatever. We should learn to see spirit soul caught in a material body. How to get them out of the material world, back home, back to Godhead. And the Shastra tells us, chant Hare Krishna, give them the Bhagavad Gita, or give them some transcendental literature, give them some prasadam. Right? Even in these days, really nice point that Prabhupada makes right at the end, even in these days, God can also be seen by qualified eyes. We want the qualification to see God. But unless we, you know, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's this amazing statement, Prabhupada says, anybody who worships Radha and Krishna without worshipping the Panchatattva or Gaur-Nitai is, what does Krishnadas Kaviraj say? What does he say? If we just worship Radha and Krishna without worshipping Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, what? Yes, he's a demon. Can you believe that? This is a demonic. Wow. So, you know, to really worship Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda doesn't just mean to offer some incense to them. Right? They want incense, yes. But more than that, they want our hearts. And if they've got our hearts, that means we've become dedicated Sankirtan devotees. All of us. Or at least once a week, I recommend. At least once a week. Go on Harinam. Go on book distribution. Think of some way to approach those who are, well, we don't know. We don't know until we go out what they are. We chant Hare Krishna, sometimes they smile. We chant Hare Krishna, sometimes they scowl. Then we find out. Or we try to give them a book. And then what happens? That's interesting. Does anybody have any comments or questions? Mamaji.
I've got two comments.
Comments?
Two comments.
Okay.
One is that a lot of people give millions of dollars for the Heart Foundation and breast cancer research. Is that not good? They are giving money for that to get some benefit. I believe in that. I don't know what you think.
No, certainly it is, but it's not. I asked a very specific question. My specific question was, what is fruitive activities referred to in as, and I, the whole process of offering sacrifice is under the category of fruitive action. I was referring to not some mundane charity, but the actual performance of Vedic sacrifices, as is mentioned here in this section. I wasn't saying that it's not a sacrifice as such. They what?
Lord Hanuman is coming in Kali Yuga. So many people.
Oh, so many people. People say so many things.
I was 5 years old. I was standing outside a Hanuman temple.
Yeah.
And I heard so many stories how Hanumanji is coming in the life of so many people. We lost a friend on 1st January this year.
Well, what's that got to do with anything that we discussed
so
in class? Anybody else with anything else? Joy.
Nowadays, a lot of people, I mean, referring to non-Indians and related to preaching. You know,
yeah.
They are very much into meditation.
Meditation. Yoga, yeah, they are. Yeah.
But thing is, you know, they want spirituality without religion.
They want spirituality. People want spirituality without religion. But we're Hare Krishnas and we're religion.
We can't avoid, you know, telling them about God in one sense. I mean, that's the ultimate purpose. So how to do this thing? Otherwise, you know, they get into some other...
Hodgepodge.
Yes.
So the question is, how do we encourage people to follow the process of bhakti, right? Without scaring them off. Right? Well, you have to think. You have to observe. When Srila Prabhupada went to America, for the first few months, he was just observing. And even beforehand, he was observing. What is the culture? What is the mood? What is the mentality of the people? You know, analyze. Then, one then needs to think of ways wherein one can introduce the aspects of Krishna consciousness that are most readily accessible to them. Right, you know, that we don't, we may not necessarily introduce all of the principles all at once. But you know, there's a couple of activities that we can engage people in, and if we can do that on a regular basis, then we'll win their hearts. What are those activities? Two activities that I can think of, three probably, that somehow or other we have to engage people in.
Chanting.
Yeah, chanting. Dancing. Chanting and dancing is one. Prasadam is two. What's the other one? reading, yeah, people reading, yes, but hearing. When you come into the Association of Devotees, and why we need the Association of Devotees, regardless of how advanced they are, I would suggest, is because in that association, and this is why Prabhupada established the society, is to hear and chant together. And it's what we do. Every morning, we sit down and have the Bhagavatam class. That's beneficial for all of us, regardless of what state of advancement we're at. If we all come together to hear, then we all make advancement. We all go forward from where we are at the moment. So trying to get people to come together, forget all of the other trappings, if you like. But if we can have them engaged in these three essential items, which is really it's the principle of urban yoga. It was a principle of 26 Second Avenue. What? What did Prabhupada engage people in 26 Second Avenue? Kirtan? Philosophy? Prasadam. Came a little later, but yes, Prasadam. That's where the Sunday Love Feast came from. And also Prabhupada would cut up some fruit and then pass the fruit around. So if we can make friends with people, at least to the point where we have them come and meet together, we chant, right? So music, kirtan, meditation, right? And then after that we have some philosophy. Now how to do that means you've got to make friends with them and convince them that, you know, that at least they can do those things. Comments on that?
The comment is like I did a fair bit of reading on Prasadam distributions a couple of years. And Prabhupada said, you know, his initial formula was Prasadam distribution and kirtan. And if somebody showed reception to hearing, then he would speak philosophy.
Yeah. He's talking about, I would suggest, beyond that point. That's very introductory. Yeah. And so, you know, very introductory was actually is Harinam, book distribution, but we're getting them beyond that point, if you like. That's the introductory phase. Is that right? Or are you talking about even earlier? Earlier, then Harinam, book distribution, festivals, Rath Yatra. But you know, I came in contact with the devotees through Harinam. It's powerful, extremely powerful. People get shocked. What are these guys doing? Disturbing the atmosphere. We're peacefully pursuing our demonic activities. And they're coming along to disturb us, to turn us into devotees. How dare they do that? Huh? Well, I don't think we should ever underestimate. And you know, maybe people will think it's religion, organized religion. Yeah. What to do? The holy name will work. Right? That's why, you know, on Harinam, personally, I don't like too much jumping up and down and putting on a performance. Personally, I don't think it's necessary. Because we're not actually the doers. Krishna is active. This is my personal understanding of things, could be wrong. But The holy name will work on the hearts of the people. So we take the holy name out. There may be people who think of us as religious or whatever, but there will be those in the crowd who are actually sincere and who will hear the holy name, and it will work on them. And then the next time and the next time. Do you know what I mean? Same with the prasadam distribution. Especially really good prasadam. Samosas, halva, gulab jamuns. Well, you got to watch the gulab jamuns. They're pretty high-powered bullets. Bit sweet. I have to admit, the first gulab jamun I ate, I spat out. Because I couldn't believe that you could eat such a thing with so much sugar in it. It's like, whoa. But the samosas, and they were fantastic. Tell me. Yeah.
And it was really about the book distribution, but the Prabhupada was saying that in all matters of preaching, we should be honest, and people will adore our honesty.
Yeah. Yes. I think so. I don't have any problem with people rejecting us, because we should understand they're demons. You know, that's what demons do. Right? But there's devotees there as well. They're the ones that we're prospecting, and you know, we know that there's going to be devotees eventually. We just got to keep chanting. Keep distributing books. Keep distributing prasadam. And creating an environment, those environments, that's why, you know, something we need to be thinking about as a community, creating the environments wherein which we can accommodate those people. And they'll come from all variety of backgrounds and ages. Right? Indian preaching's kind of easy in one sense. But, and the formula for that we generally know. But now we've got to work out formulas for others to break down the barriers and to create the opportunity so the innocent, that's what a Majjhimadhikari does. He identifies the innocent, then creates an environment within which they can come to Krishna consciousness. So how to do that requires, you know, looking at the situation and thinking how to capitalize or take people from the point of hearing the holy name, reading books, taking prasadam, how to connect those people, the innocent, so that they can get back to us, so that we can connect with them. And create an environment where we can get them into the association of devotees, where they start chanting, they start hearing the philosophy, and they take prasadam.
My question was in that, since I came here, statistically, if you see, I haven't seen as many non-Indians becoming.
Oh, non-Indians? No, that's not. That's not unusual. Because there's more Sukriti in taking birth in Bharat Varsh. And why Lord Chaitanya and Srila Prabhupada put emphasis on the fact that if you're born in Bharat Varsha, it's your duty to preach to the others. That's why I'm reminding everybody now. Because The tendency is, or can be, to just remain in our comfort zone. Oh, it's too hard to preach to these other guys. Or whatever, or it's a challenge. So we've got to think. Prabhupada did it. He set the example. He then took his Western disciples back to India. They preached in India, now very successful. Now the Indians have to follow Prabhupada's example and go back out and preach to the Westerners again. Or whatever. You know, but look at Australia. You know, it's not just so-called Westerners. The other day I went shopping for some sandals in High Point West. I haven't been in a shopping centre for, effectively for, a Melbourne suburban shopping centre for, 10 years maybe. And I was a bit of a shock. Sudanese, Vietnamese, Chinese, you name it. Muslims, Hindus, Christians, just out and out sense gratifiers. It's a zoo. No, it's not a zoo, it's a jungle. At least the animals are in cages in the zoo. But if you go and walk down the street, it's like, whoa. Or walk in the mall and look at all the people. Same with downtown Melbourne. It's pretty amazing. Isn't it? Crazy, actually. So, when I see that, then I think, hurry now. To sort through all of that, let's just go and do hurry now in as many places as we can. And distribute books. Give them a card and say, here we are. We're the Hare Krishnas. Give us a call. Go to our website. And if we're worried about one of the things that we've been discussing with Nanda Mandir, he and I and other devotees, we have teams of devotees going out every weekend, Saturday morning. We mix it up a bit so it doesn't look like the Indian Society for Krishna Consciousness. So we have a blended group so people won't think. But you know what? I don't think it matters, to be quite frank with you. I don't think it matters what the makeup of the Harinam party is. What is important is if they're chanting Hare Krishna. That's the powerful bit. Didn't matter that Srila Prabhupada was an Indian. Did it? No? Does it matter? Does it matter to you?
Maybe it matters to others.
Prabhupada didn't care. Why should we? As Srupa said, and as Prabhupada said, I was reading yesterday also, or somewhere I heard it, if we maintain our purity, that will be more powerful than whether we're Indian, American, Australian, black, white, brown, brindle, whatever colour. It doesn't matter, actually. That's actually, when you think about it, it's a material concept. Oh, I'm an Indian. So what? I'm an Australian. Isn't it ironic? I'm an Aussie. In Pune, for example, or in Mumbai, or in Noida, I'm sitting on the asana, and here I am telling the Indians, that they should chant Hare Krishna. Isn't that funny? It's funny to me. But does it matter? No. They respect me. In Noida, half of the people can't understand what I'm saying. I say to them, do you speak English? And half of them don't put their hands up. So that means they don't speak English. Something wrong. But they're happily sitting there listening to me speak. And then I say to Budimanta, okay, Budimanta, you have to translate my Australian English so they can understand what I'm saying. So it doesn't matter. It really doesn't, I think. You know, ultimately, if we get to the ultimate, to the principles of Krishna consciousness, chanting Hare Krishna is not on the material platform. It is on the spiritual platform. So when we chant Hare Krishna and we're on the spiritual platform, then we connect with everybody out there on the spiritual platform. That's our philosophy, isn't it? Well, when I last read it, it was. And when I put it... So, you know, when you go and people criticize or whatever... One time one lady came up to me, I was very young, probably eating too many gulab jamuns, and she said, "You're not spiritual, you've got pimples on your face." So what? Who cares? Okay, she's not a candidate at the moment. Right? She's not a candidate. But, you know, maybe 10 years' time, when my face is a bit clearer, she'll take me more seriously. But in the meantime, keep chanting Hare Krishna, because there's always going to be somebody who, you know, to be honest, I used to see Indians as being exotic. When I met an Indian, I used to think, wow, such a spiritual person. You didn't know that, did you? Take advantage of it. Of course, now most of my friends are Indian. I have a different perspective on things. I know the truth. Yeah, it's a challenge to make friends with people, and you know, isn't it? It'll be amazing what happens, I would suggest. Srila Prabhupada was 70, wasn't it? And in his preaching, who did he attract? Young people, yeah. So we just got to go out. In one sense, we need to blindly follow the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Krishna and Prabhupada. And then see what the results will bring us. We'll be surprised. It'll work. Krishna Vanam Tvisha Krishnam Sango Pangasta Pasudam Jagyaya Sankita Praya Yutanti. Well, it doesn't have reference to Kali Yuga there, but this is the Yuga Dharma for Kali Yuga. So, especially the chanting of Hare Krishna. So if we go out and chant Hare Krishna, it's going to work. It's working already. So if we increase that jagya, then the results should increase, shouldn't they? And we'd be surprised what it produces, I would imagine. Maybe more Indians. So be it. But is that a bad thing? I don't think so. I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you guys if it was. Mr. Acharya. That's my experience, actually, these days. The response to the Harinam party is very positive. So what does that mean? What does that mean, Keshava Acharya? Yeah, things are going in the proper direction. The Sukriti has been created for them. And so we need to go and harvest it. Yeah. Of course, because he's pretty enthusiastic. In fact, you know, a bit like a bouncing bean on second time. He annoys me sometimes, I think. Just sit down. The holy name will do its work. Huh?
How important is the packaging sometimes?
How important is the packaging?
Yeah, devotees sometimes tell me you have to worry about how it looks and things like that.
We should be smiling. You know, there are those who say, you know, we shouldn't wear devotional clothes. Just go out in plain clothes. How important is the packaging? More important is the, you know, that you've got the goods inside. Isn't it? That there's a pure heart, a desire to please the spiritual master, a desire to please Prabhupada, a desire to please Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, or at least to follow their instructions, their mood. We don't imitate, we follow. Right? but then, you know, my preference is, you know, we are representing the Hare Krishna movement. And even though people don't like organized religion, in one sense, we still need to be organized and we still need to present a clean, fresh image of Krishna consciousness. So my preference is bald head, tilak, devotional clothes. And, you know, that shows we're conformists. We're unconventional or non-conformist in that we want to break out of the material mould, but at the same time, you know, we want to present that there is a process, a practice. Not fanatically, but, you know, knowing that that's in our best interest and the best interests of others. And so some conformity in dress is, devotional dress, I suggest, is, from my experience, at least preaching in Melbourne, that's going to be beneficial for others and for us. Rather than, you know, just be a scraggly band of hippies. Any other comments? There's a few hands went up there, I noticed. Sheila? Yeah, Krishna wears a dhoti. There are those who say that a dhoti isn't spiritual, but Krishna is described as wearing a dhoti. So most important is the content of the package, right? But well packaged, proper content, well packaged, will be well received, or at least, oh, it's the Hare Krishnas. Somebody else's hand went up. Chandaneshwara. Once a week, Friday night.
Yeah,
King Queen Street.
Yeah.
Sukadev, is that right?
Yeah. And,
yeah. It's wild. It can be wild.
Yeah. Because they all came in casuals. They won. Even Kala Samar Prabhu also was in casuals. Everyone went in casuals and they went for Sankirtan and crowd was just
wonderful. But they don't always do that.
Yeah.
That's not normal. I've been on that Sankirtan party many times over the years And the dress standard is devotional. Yeah. Yeah, we're not in Abu Dhabi or, you know, we're not in Egypt or Saudi or whatever. We're in Melbourne. And I think we can, you know, we can get away with it. Can't we? We can get away with it. We can have a good standard. Why not? Why settle for a lesser standard when the best standard will get us excellent results? What do you reckon, Jai Jagannath? Yeah? That's okay, yeah. Sometimes newcomers will turn up and they'll be dressed in jeans or whatever. But if the core of the devotees are there, people will know this is a newbie. This guy doesn't know what he's doing. Because just because somebody's dressed up, looked apart, doesn't mean they know what they're doing either. But at least they've got the uniform on. All right, we should finish. It's very, very late. Oh, excuse me. Today is Ekadasi, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. So we're all fasting today, huh? He's fasting. Okay. Anyway, this is the Sankirtan Yajna. I would like, you know, it would be good if we can increase our Harinam parties. Because this is what the devotees have realized. We see it in the city. People love us. Nanda Mandir and a few of the devotees have been going out Saturday mornings to various suburbs. And the response is the same. Right? Isn't it? People like it. They're waving, they're friendly. So there's no need to worry about what kind of reception you're going to get. Right? One person
invited us
into his shop. Yeah, whereabouts?
Some suburb.
He's from Brisbane, he doesn't know Melbourne. You will get to know Melbourne. What did he say? Come and chant in my shop. Yeah. Come and chant in my shop. Don't chant in the outside there's, you know, in the city it's get away from my shop. But in the suburb, business can't be going so well, so come in my shop. Was he an Indian? No, he wasn't an Indian. There you go. Just there you go. See, there are people. Yeah, that's good. So, you know, we're working on it, but I think an effective strategy, what appears to be a good strategy is go out and do Harinam. What was very effective in the 80s, early 80s, was rather than ask people for donations for books, just give books away for free. Small books. And, you know, make sure, we're not doing it yet, but we should have a business reply card in there so they can get back to us, or at least our website, Facebook, you know, so people can connect. It's marketing. Actually, Sankirtan is just marketing. And then finding your customers, then selling. What are we selling? The holy name. Yeah. And service to Krishna. And they pay with their lives. That's why they're not. They know what they can see the fine print without even reading it. That's what we saw. Huh? I thought, oh no, I'm not going to get involved with these guys. But they were too nice to us. Okay, Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Sankirtan Jagya ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhakta Bhakti ki jai.